This is attributed to Confucius. If your plan is for 1 year, plant rice. For 10 years, plant trees. For 100 years, educate men. And before you feminists get off and out of whack, that means educate you too. Because y'all is dumb as hell. Anyways, welcome back to Liberty Tunes here on RLM Radio. Sorry, I couldn't pass that up. Yesterday was Independence Day here in the United States of America. And I don't think a whole lot of people nowadays really understand what Independence Day actually means. It's not Imperial Day. It's not a celebration where you go eat cheeseburgers on the grill and drink beer and then go shoot off fireworks. It's a revolt, celebration of a revolt of a government. And so many people nowadays celebrate that the current government does not mean anything. Anyways, this post, I read this on X yesterday, and I was originally going to have a show last night and was informed that we were going to go watch fireworks when I probably should have done that, expected to do that. But anyways, I digress. This is how I wanted to start the show off yesterday. But this post just went really hard to me by Dylan Malman on X. You can find him over at interlinked.blog. Dylan M. Malman, or Dylan Malman on X. Your freedom is too sacred to leave in the hands of the state. Keep in mind, these are not my words. I'm giving full credit to him. Your freedom is too sacred to leave in the hands of the state. That's the real message of Independence Day, if anyone's still paying attention. This wasn't meant to be a holiday for fireworks and blind allegiance. It was a celebration of succession, a breakaway from an empire, a declaration that power belongs to individuals, not kings, not parliaments, not bureaucracies dressed in red, white, and blue. The men who signed the declaration weren't looking for better management. They were lighting a match. They wanted out of the system. And yet, here we are, worshiping institutions that grow more bloated and parasitic every year. People cheer for government like it's their favorite sports team, as if this whole experiment wasn't built on the bones of resistance to centralized power. What passes for liberty now is a carefully curated cage with free Wi-Fi and biometric surveillance. But hey, the fireworks are cool. Independence Day should make you proud, but it should also make you uneasy, because the truth is we've drifted unrecognizably far from the spirit of 1776. Back then, independence meant the right to be left alone, to own your labor, to speak without permission, to live without constant oversight, to trade freely without being extorted, to defend yourself without licensing it, to educate your children without state doctrine, to refuse the draft, to print what you wanted, to worship or refuse to worship on your terms, to walk your land without papers, to be secure in your property, to build, to create, to associate, to withdraw, to be unmolested so long as you harmed no one. It didn't mean begging for a distant power to treat you better. It meant telling them to get lost. It was a holiday for outlaws and dissenters. Today it's become a ritual of submission, a flag-draped spectacle that celebrates the very kind of control the founders rejected. But I'm still celebrating because I still believe in the principle. I believe in individuals taking ownership of their own lives. I believe in voluntary association, peaceful cooperation, and in building systems that don't require coercion to function. I believe the human spirit doesn't need permission to thrive. I celebrate that spirit. I celebrate every act of defiance against tyrants, every whisper of rebellion in a world that reminds conformity. I celebrate anyone who decides to carve their own path, build their own future, and reject the illusion of that freedom, or reject the illusion that freedom can be handed down by institutions. You don't need a government to be free. You need courage. You need clarity. You need to stop confusing regulation with order and control with care. The people who built this country understood that government always tries to grow, always tries to centralize, always tries to convince you that it's indispensable. That's why they put ink to paper and said no. That's why they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor, because they knew real freedom comes with real risk. Go light your fireworks, grill your steaks, hug your family, laugh with your friends, celebrate. But remember what you're actually celebrating. The raw, defiant idea that you own yourself. That no one has the right to rule you without your consent. That the chains can be broken. The system walked away from. The empire shrugged off. The 4th of July should be a reminder that real independence is never given. It's taken. It's lived. It's built every day by people who choose to be ungovernable in a world that wants them docile. That's something worth celebrating. I read that yesterday, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. It's like, that's exactly what people need to hear. Especially with Trump signing the big, beautiful bill. And I just realized my microphone was way too quiet. Let me turn it up a little bit. But it's scary that we're just sitting around and everybody's so freaking docile about things. And it just kind of blows my mind. Another thing I wanted to play for you real quick here is James Freeman. I don't know if you know who James Freeman is on YouTube. He's a great YouTuber. He really holds the government officials by the balls. they call him the First Amendment auditors. He's not like that, but he will get right up in their faces. And he's good. Just go check out James Freeman over on YouTube and other places. This is he put this out yesterday, and I thought this was another one that hit really hard. But I'm just gonna play it, because I'll just let him say it.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's James Freeman, just wishing you a happy 4th of July. I wrote a little speech, but I didn't memorize it because I'm not that awesome. And gosh, that seems like it would take a lot of time and effort. So I didn't do that. But I wrote you a little speech and just wanted to let you guys know that I will not be taking part in the festivities today on the 4th of July because I refuse to celebrate fighting one's own government. Just kidding, I'll probably light some shit on fire. But I wanted to read this to you to set the record straight on what the 4th of July celebrates. The 4th of July is not about obedience or compliance or quiet gratitude to your government for keeping you safe. No, today we celebrate the men who looked at the most powerful empire in the world and said, "F*** you, I won't do what you tell me." Today is a celebration of men that were smugglers and tax evaders. They were rioters and saboteurs, insurgents who shot at law enforcement with illegal firearms, then ran into the woods to reload and shoot again. That's right, George Washington didn't file a W-2. Thomas Jefferson didn't Venmo the crown his tea tariff. And the Boston Tea Party? That wasn't some polite disagreement. It was vandalism, theft, and sabotage. They were rebels, rioters, outlaws, and if they pulled the same stuff today, Fox News would call them terrorists, CNN would call for calm, and the government would drone strike Samuel Adams before lunch. But back then, they shot back. They ran guerrilla campaigns, they sniped soldiers, they burned supply lines, and they talked mad trash about their government in handwritten blogs called pamphlets. Now you grill hot dogs and light off only fireworks that have been approved by your local municipality while waving a thin blue line flag to show your support for the same law enforcement that your founding fathers gave lead poisoning to. So let's set the record straight. The 4th of July isn't about loving your country no matter what it does. It's quite literally about fighting against it when it's wrong. Your founding fathers weren't nationalists. They were radical rebels. The people they rebelled against were perceived by the entire world to be a legitimate authority over them. And if they saw what we've become, citizens surveilled, taxed, frisked, fined, and fed propaganda 24/7, they wouldn't light a sparkler. They'd light a fuse. So today, if you're told that rebellion is un-American, then tell that boot-licking, blue-line-worshipping, redcoat-loving loyalist to suck it. Remind him that cucks like him are the reason we can't have nice things. Then check on his wife, because I can assure you, she's not being satisfied by a man who calls the police when he needs help. The truth is, there's a reason most of you identify with the rebels in movies like Star Wars and The Hunger Games. It's because deep down you have that spirit of righteous rebellion. And if someone calls you un-American for standing up to the enforcers of government, remind them, that's the most American thing you can possibly do. Happy Treason Day to those of you who actually have the balls to stand up to perceived authority.
Again, that was James Freeman. Go check him out, James Freeman, over on YouTube. Dude's awesome. I strongly suggest you to follow him. There's a few things that I want to talk about today. Among them, the big, beautiful bill, of course. There's a giant, what the fuck is this, on the beautiful, big BS bill that surprised the shit out of me. I didn't even know about it until yesterday, and my wife had told me about it. And we're going to go over that. And we're also going to go over the tiny dot. I don't know if you know what the tiny dot is, but you're going to learn, because it's something that really, really needs to be talked about more and make it known for people out there. The last thing I want to talk about, other than some news, is MAGA's celebrity warship. Yeah, I'll go over that. Anyways, so before we start talking about the tiny dot, I just got to say, in honor of, now I'm not even set right. Okay, now I'm back to where I was wanted to be at. So, okay, screw it. Let's just celebrate our independence.
Yo, they break the chains, control the game. Paper empires built on lies and shame. Second death, they rig the score. Enslaving masses while they lock the door. With a spark, the fire, the renegade call. Break the system, watch the towers fall. No more puppets, cut the strings, we're led. Time to rise up and save the Fed. Ace the Fed. Truth be said. key. Every heart, every soul, screaming to be free. No more silence, no more fear in our eyes. We're the storm, we're the thunder. Watch the rebels rise. They fear the truth, they fear the sound of a million voices shaking the ground. From the cities to the fields, we're breaking the mold. No more power for the greedy and cold. We're the future, the fire, the untamed roar. Kicking down the system, we don't kneel no more. No surrender, no regret. Take it all back, yo. Hey, hey, save the fate.
Once upon a time, there were 100 million people. They had different interests, different beliefs, different occupations, but for the most part, they got along pretty well. Then one day, a gang of a few hundred people showed up. Need to zoom in some more to see them. I know they're there somewhere. Zoom in. There they are. And this gang of a few hundred said to the throng of 100 million, "From now on, you all have to give us a cut of everything you earn."
This is an accurate graphical comparison between the number of American taxpayers and the number of U.S. congressmen.
And the throng said, "Gosh, do we have to give you a cut of what we earn?" And the gang of a few hundred said, "Yes, you have to." And the throng said, "Well, okay, I guess we have to." And one little troublemaker asked, "What if we don't?" The gang of a few hundred didn't like this and said, "If you do not comply, we shall unleash upon you our legions of enforcers." And the throng cried, "Oh no, please don't. We will comply. We will pay."
This is an accurate graphical comparison between the number of American taxpayers and the total number of IRS employees.
Time went by and the gang of a few hundred said, "Now we want more of what you earn." And this kept happening over and over again, until eventually some of the throng were paying almost half of what they earned to the gang. Whenever the gang demanded more, the throng would say, "Golly, we're already having a tough time. Do we really need to give you even more?" And the gang always said, "Yes, you must, or we shall unleash our legion of enforcers." Now the gang of a few hundred was getting trillions of dollars every year, spending it on wars and pyramid schemes, giving away goodies to their friends, buying influence, and doing lots of other things. And some of the throngs started saying, "We don't really like the war you're waging with the money we give you. Do we really have to be paying for that?" And the gang said, "Yes, we demand it. Don't make us send out our legion of enforcers." And some of the throng said, "You're taking our money and giving it to huge corporations and giant banks, and some people who just don't want to work. A lot of these things we don't like." And the gang said, "We don't care. We will decide how to spend it. You just do as you're told, or else." And the throng said, "Okay, I guess we have to." But eventually the throng got so fed up, so angry, that they took a drastic step. One day, they said to the gang, "We don't like what you're doing. We want a new gang." And after pouring a huge amount of time and money into the effort, they replaced the gang with a new gang. Then the throng pleaded with the new gang, "Now, at long last, can we keep our own money, or at least keep more of it?" And the new gang said,
"Sorry, but after much discussion, we've decided that you can't. You have to keep giving us what you've been giving, in fact, a little bit more than before."
The throng was distraught and said, "This is dreadful. But after all, what choice do we have? I mean, they say we must comply, and they have that scary legion of enforcers. We're powerless against them. We'd better just do as we're told. So they did as they were told, got poorer and poorer, and lived miserably ever after. But after all, what else could they have done? What power could this throng possibly have compared to this gang of a few hundred and their enforcers? What chance would this thing have against this thing? How could these 100 million people ever hope to successfully resist the awesome power of this tiny little dot? In case anyone missed this, let's review. Here's them. Here are their enforcers. Here's us. Them. Us. Them. Us. Does anything about this seem just a little strange to you? Are you perhaps wondering, why does the throng need the permission of the dot to do anything? Why do these people feel the need to ask this tiny little dot if they can keep more of what they earn? Why would they spend year after year literally begging for lower taxes from this little dot? Is this dot just really darn intimidating? Is it very persuasive in its reasoning? To be blunt, why would this throng give a rodent's backside what this tiny little dot wanted? The fact that this tiny dot has the gall to issue such demands to such a throng is pretty startling in and of itself. But what is far more amazing is that the throng obeys this minuscule little parasitic gang of control freaks. What could possibly explain this? Let's ask the dot.
This is how it works. When we, the dot, take your money and spend it on things you don't like, we're representing you. In fact, though you're not allowed to actually keep your own money, you're allowed to decide which little dot will steal half of what you earn. So that really means that you're in charge and that you're agreeing to give us your money. In fact, we, the dot, are serving you when we take your money and spend it on things you don't like. And so you should thank us and treat us with great respect and honor for having robbed you on your behalf for your own good in order to serve you by doing things you don't want us to do.
So there you have it. I hope that cleared everything up for you.
If you're not entirely satisfied with the dot's explanation of things, you really should read the book, The Most Dangerous Superstition, available now at Amazon.com.
Okay, that's The Tiny Dot by Larkin Rose. Larkin Rose is awesome. He's cool. The key points about the tiny dot theory is one: numerical disparity. The tiny dot itself represents a small group of rulers that's vastly outnumbered by the population, or in the video, in the clip that I just played, it's the throng. That's everybody else. That's all of us. The tiny dot is Washington, D.C., okay? It is the... That is the tiny dot. And there's an illusion of authority. We all obey the tiny dot just because we've been conditioned to believe that the dot has a divine right to rule. And it's real, you know, that's reinforced by the political rituals every 2 and 4 years of elections and the constitutions. And, you know, fun little fact, the United States Constitution was not written to keep us, the throng, in line. It was written to keep them, the tiny dot, in line. And somewhere along the lines, people seem to think that this, nowadays, seem to think that we got to have this piece of paper with words written on it that gives us our rights and enforces our rights and says that they can't do this stuff to us. They can't do that stuff to anybody. Believe it or not, you have an inherent right as a human to exist, number one, and that nobody is in control of you but you. Then there's also another key point is the role of enforcers. A slightly larger group of enforcers, this would be the law enforcement, police, IRS agents, the feds. You know, they support the tiny dot, but they too operate under the same belief in the dot's authority, like the rest of us have been conditioned and raised to believe. Then there's the moral obligation perception. All of us, the throng, has this, feels like they got this moral duty to comply with the tiny dot. Otherwise, the tiny dot's going to send out those enforcers to come out there, come and, you know, threaten us and cause us harm or take our money. You know, even if we go out and we do something so bad as disagree with the tiny dot. I mean, you know, you can't be anti-Semitic. If you disagree with the tiny dot sending millions and billions of dollars to Israel every fucking year, if you disagree with that, you're anti-Semitic. Even though you've got no problem with the Jewish people and Israel. I don't have a problem with the people over there. I have a problem with their fucking, their government, just like I have a problem with our government. But the solution is the power of the tiny dot. It's an illusion, people. It's not real. We need people to wake up and realize that it's the tiny dot does not really have that power that we think it does. Someone has only has the power that you allow them to have. What's going to happen when the throng, enough people in the throng wake up and realize one day they're not going to take it no more? You know, it's really, it's going to be a really, really interesting time when that happens. And I don't want to advocate for violence. I want people to do this peacefully. But I want you to realize and really think about things before you start getting all up in the people's faces and start saying, think this way. Okay, here's the problem with what we've got going on now. We've got the two-party system, okay? And in case you haven't noticed, politics is a pendulum when there's just a two-party system. You know, I'm 55 years old, and for all of my 55 years, I've watched people try to vote and keep that pendulum in the middle so that everybody's happy. But what actually happens is the pendulum will swing right one year. Then 4 years later, the pendulum swings back to the left. And sometimes it'll swing a little bit further to the left. And then 4 years later or 8 years later, it'll swing back to the right. And it swings a little bit further to the right. And then it swings a little bit to the further left on the next one, and then to the right on the next one, to where the last administration, 2020, it swung so far left that everybody got so fed up and so pissed off about it. Even libertarians voted for the right. And now that swingulum swung so far to the right, so fast, so hard, that the leader of the movement, Trump, is thinking that he's got this huge mandate, that everybody was MAGA. Everybody was going to follow him 100% with everything that he thinks is right. And now he's got... I mean, it's so far right, and there's hardly anything left on the left. I don't think it's going to swing back to the middle. If it does, it'll be the libertarians that pulls it back. we're going to go over the difference between libertarian, anarchist, conservative, because, you know, these are the two of these three things is what won Trump the election, and he's just split that in half with what he's done in the first 6 months. So by the time he gets done, yeah, Vance ain't getting elected in 2028. No, ain't no way in hell. Trump, the only reason Trump got so many votes is because the libertarians voted for him. And I was reading some posts on X before the show, and one of them was from The Persistence, Scott Pressler. And I used to actually think Scott Pressler was a pretty cool dude. I thought he was, you know, pretty much a libertarian type, borderline libertarian. He's not conservative. There's no way about that. Because, you know, he is, you know, the gay guy out in Pennsylvania that won Pennsylvania for Trump. And, now he's just in the last 6 months, he's turning into a militant Republican, and, you know, lockstep and in line with their agenda, and it's not showing any hope. But he was posting on X earlier today that, because Elon is talking about starting a third party, an America party, which, by the way, Elon, there already is a third party. Just join it. Stop trying to start another party, because you're not helping. Pressler, he's saying that, you know, that it'll just split the Republican vote and blah, 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 blah. And yes, it will. And you will see things, you know, like everybody was so surprised, you know, the left was so surprised when Trump won, and there was not like 80, 90 million votes with, you know, and Biden didn't get the 80 million votes because there wasn't all these fake votes that they cheated in 2016. They're going to realize that the same thing's going to happen, that Trump would have never got the amount of votes in 2020 or 2024 because they're not voting for him again. They're not voting for the Republicans again. If Vance wins, it's going to be a very, 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 like, I'm talking a splinter. At this point in time, 6 months in, Trump's lost over half his base. I don't care what Fox News says. I don't care what these pollsters say. Y'all fucking lying. Because there's no fucking way. Now, I don't ever see a libertarian voting for Republicans again. After what he's done, it's sad, dude. I mean, it's really, really sad. So anyways, that in a nutshell is the tiny dot. So, that's the dot solution.
They play us like fools. A tiny dot rules with its corrupt tools. We hand over our cash, think we've got no choice, but it's all an illusion. Hear my voice. We're the throng for many, but we bow to the few. Conditioned to obey, our minds they skew. Break the chain, see the dot solution. We're the power, not this delusion. Time to wake up, stop funding the thieves. They've got the law, they say it's fair, but it's just control, a system to scare. We're taught to believe in their divine right, but it's a lie, a massive slight. Enforcers from us, the throng they come, believing they're righteous, but they're also dumb. Break the chain, see the dot solution. We're the power, not this delusion. It's all in our heads, this obedience we give. Time to wake up, stop funding the thieves. No need for a revolution or to change the dot. Just see the truth, the power we've got. The dot's just a speck, it's our minds they own. Once we realize they're overthrown.
We are many, they are few. Why do we let them rule?
Taxes, they call it our moral duty, but it's theft, pure and broody. The throng's perception, that's the key to end this game. Set us free. Break the chain, see the dot solution. We're the power, not this delusion. It's all in our heads, this obedience we give. Time to wake up, stop funding the thieves. Break the chain, see the dot solution. We're the power, not this delusion. It's all in our heads, this obedience we give. Time to wake up, stop funding the thieves. The power's in us, not in their laws. Time to rise up, cause we have the cause. Ignore the dot, let it fade away.
Now this just kind of blew me away. This should be a what the fuck segment. So in the big bill, the big bullshit beautiful bill that was signed into law yesterday, includes a provision known as quote unquote Trump accounts. This initiative provides a one-time payment of $1,000. Well, it's not a payment, it's an investment account $1,000 investment account for every U.S. citizen born between January 1st, 2025 and December 31st, 2028. So for the next 3 years, 4 years, yeah, 3 years. Here's the key points. Eligibility. The accounts are available to children born in the U.S. during the specified period, provided at least one parent has a Social Security number with work authorization. This excludes some U.S.-born children of certain immigrants. Structure. These are tax-deferred investment accounts, similar to IRAs under Section 408. The Internal Revenue Code, but not Roth IRAs. Just, you know, just keep that in mind. The $1,000 initial deposit is funded by the federal government through the Treasury Department and invested in diversified index funds tracking the U.S. stock market. Contributions, parents, relatives, or others, you know, charities, employers, they can contribute up to $5,000 a year until the child turns 17. If parents don't open an account, the Treasury will automatically create one for you. Access to these funds, beneficiaries can access up to 50% of the funds at age 18 for specific purposes such as education, vocational training, starting a small business, or a down payment on a first home. Full access is granted at age 30. Withdrawals for non-qualified expenses before age 30 are subject to income tax and a 10% penalty. After age 59 and a half, withdrawals are taxed as income with a 10% penalty for non-qualified uses, similar to traditional IRAs. Tax treatment. The accounts grow tax deferred, meaning no taxes are paid on earnings until withdrawal. Withdrawals are taxed at the long-term capital gains rate for qualified expenses, unlike 529 plans or Roth IRAs, which may offer tax-free withdrawals for specific purposes. Some experts note that Trump accounts offer fewer tax benefits compared to 529 plans. Purpose and impact. The program aims to promote financial literacy, encourage long-term savings, and provide a financial head start for young adults, supporters, including Trump, and CEOs like Michael Dell, argue it aligns children with the benefits of free markets and compounding interest. For example, with a 6% annual return, the initial $1,000 could grow to about $2,854 by age 18. With additional contributions, some estimate it could reach $50,000. Critics, however, argue that the $1,000 alone won't significantly address wealth inequality, especially for low-income families, and the program's benefits are less generous than alternatives like the 529 plans. Cost. With approximately 3.6 million births annually in the U.S., the program is estimated to cost around $3 billion a year. It's part of a broader tax and spending package that includes tax cuts and an increased child tax credit. $3 billion a year for the next 3 years. So in the future, there's going to be, what's this, what was it? They estimate 3.6 million births annually. That's 3.5 million. So 6, 9, 10, 12, approximately 12 million people in 18 years are going to have, could reach, you know, $50,000 just handed to them over their lives just because they were born during Trump's term. I'm trying to wrap my head around this. Okay, you're conservatives, you're Republicans, right? You're supposed to be cutting spending, you know, small government. You're not socialists, so you say. But here you are doing a socialist program, and it was, I hadn't even heard of this until it was signed. And I'm usually pretty clued in on this shit before it gets signed, but and what the fuck? You want to get rid of fucking welfare, and here you are throwing this shit in there just because they were born on Trump's, during Trump's administration. Do you guys not see how fucking stupid you are? This is just fucking stupid. You really, my God, you people are dumb. Now, the big BS bill, it's, you know, it's, okay, it's, I get what, you know, why, you know, he thought we needed it, but come on, the deficit increase, the Congressional Budget Office, CBO, projects the bill will add $3.3 trillion to the $4.46 trillion to the federal deficit over 2025 to 2034, driven by $4.5 trillion in tax cuts made permanent by the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, extensions, deductions for tips, overtime, and auto loans for the U.S.-made cars, and offset by $1.2 trillion in spending cuts. The Senate version increases the deficit by about a half a trillion dollars, more than the House version. The White House claims a $1.4 trillion deficit reduction, citing the economic growth from tariffs and deregulation, but critics, including the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, call this misleading, warning of a potential $5 trillion deficit increase if temporary provisions are extended. Okay, before I get any further, let's just point out something really quick. We all know, and this should have been a huge red flag from the beginning, when they call anything, any bill, by a name, like the Internet Safety Bill or whatever, 9 times out of 10, 99.99% time, that's not in there. That's not what the bill does. When they called it the big, beautiful, big bill, it was not a big, beautiful bill. But they passed it anyways. It's oh my God. How much money did Doge supposedly find that was wasteful? None of it was in there. None of the cuts were in there. But yet here we are, adding more to the fucking deficit. $37 trillion in the hole. And, you know, but by golly, you know, Israel's still getting their fucking money. Fucking Ukraine's still getting their fucking money. Oh my God. Surveillance state. expanded. The bill allocates $6.17 billion through 2029 for Customs and Border Protection to deploy AI, machine learning, and autonomous surveillance technologies for border security, enabling a real-time tracking and identification without human oversight. Some posts on X describe this as billions for AI-driven spying, raising fears of an expanded surveillance state. Additionally, $600 million funds FEMA to equip state and local law enforcement with unmanned aircraft monitoring systems, potentially broadening domestic surveillance. While the bill limits untested surveillance towers, critics argue these measures prioritize state and corporate data collection over privacy. Erosion of individual freedoms. Beyond healthcare, the bill impacts freedoms in several ways. AI regulation ban prohibits states from regulating AI for 10 years. Oh, no, they took that out. The court contempt for enforcement limits restricts federal courts' ability to enforce contempt rulings, weakening judicial checks on government overreach. This could reduce individuals' recourse against unlawful state actions, threatening due process. Immigration restrictions imposes a $1,000 asylum fee and taxes on remittances by non-citizens, limiting economic freedom for legal immigrants and asylum seekers. These measures are seen as punitive, restricting personal financial choices. There's a gun silencer tax repeal. While framed as pro-freedom by supporters, the removal of the $200 silencer tax could face pushback from those concerned about public safety, though it enhances the Second Amendment rights for some. I'm sorry, but the Second Amendment is pretty clear. Thou shall not be infringed. But yeah, we've got more fucking regulations on guns and weapons and armaments and arms that is absolutely out of this. It's just out of this fucking world, dude. We do not live in a free society. I don't want to hear anybody say we live in a free society, because we do not. I live in a free society. There is no way in fucking hell. Looking for a song to play. How about Control? If I could spell. Control. There we go. That's how you spell right there.
In the shadows, they're watching. Every click, every like, every share. Big brother's on your screen. It's the end of your privacy. Beware. Corporations with their grip so tight. Governments with their eyes in the night. Feeding you lies through the media's might. This digital age, they dim your light. They mold your thoughts, they shape your fears. Dictate your dreams, control your tears. With every post, they tighten the noose. The algorithm decides what you choose. This is how they control you. With every swipe, they own you. This is how they control you. Manipulate, dominate, they got you. In this dysfunctional dystopia we dwell, where the truth is buried under fake news hell. Big media, the puppeteers of pain, pulling strings, driving us insane. They know your secrets, they know your name. In this game, you're just a pawn in their aim. The revolution will not be televised, but in our hearts our freedom lies.
your thoughts, they shape your fears. Dictate your dreams, control your tears. With every post they tighten the noose. The algorithm decides what you choose. This is how they control you. With every swipe they own you. This is how they control you. Manipulate, dominate, they got you. Stand up, break the chains. Unplug from their matrix games. See the light behind the screen. We are more than the machine. They mold your thoughts, they shape your fears. Dictate your dreams, control your tears. With every pulse they tighten the noose. The algorithm decides what you choose. This is how they control you. With every